We got to take a break before Insane Clown Posse?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to do that. They're going to be here any moment, though?
Yes.
So right after a quick break, Insane Clown Posse, for the first time on the Opie and Anthony Show.
This is the Opie and Anthony Show.
Yeah.
Insane Clown Posse in studio for the first time.
Yeah.
Very fucking cool.
Wait, what mic is that one there, Sam?
Yes, number Sam. Eight. Sam's very familiar with you guys and a huge fan.
Yeah.
Turned me on to it a little while back, although I've known about you guys for
forever.
Quite a while. Very fucking hilarious. And then we were looking at pictures of the naked chicks.
Yes.
At the...
Endless fluff of chicks at the gathering.
Nudity runs wild at the gathering.
Yeah, huh?
Thank God not with dudes, you know?
Right. No, we don't need that.
It's just way stuff from that.
Wait, how do you get that done, though? Because, you know, we used to do a lot of road shows, and we get the girls to flash, but you get, like, totally nude women to just walk around the whole time.
Let me just say, having attended every gathering, it top quality nudity girls, too.
Top quality.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you've seen that in the photos.
We saw some top quality and saw some, you know.
A couple of their friends that came along.
What? All I've ever seen is the highest of standards at the gathering. That's the way we like it. And nobody, you know, on a real tip, everybody's accepted.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can be a 600-pound dude walking with your shirt off in the heat, and nobody's even gonna double take it from me.
E-Rock's gonna love going.
I peeled my shirt off plenty of times. Nobody's done a double take so much as, you know, said, holy, you know, everything's always been great.
So you say nobody should be self-conscious about being not perfect physically because nobody gives a shit.
But not together.
It could be the most hideous broad in the world, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just asshole naked, you know what I'm saying? There's gonna be a dude there like, what's up?
Exactly. A lot of sex going on.
Yes.
That's pretty fucking cool too.
I know a porn girl who's obsessed with you guys, and I'm obsessed with her. She only does like lesbian porn, so she won't let me near her pussy, but she's fucking sexy, and she goes every year, and she says she's totally naked, and she's like, it's really weird, like nobody touches you or does anything shitty, and she's like, one guy grabbed her, and then she's like, other people jumped in and like fucking smashed him, and like, she's like, it's oddly respectful when you're naked. People aren't fucking that big of animals.
Mm-hmm. That's why I walk around naked.
That's all their way of hoping to get some pussy.
Yeah, right. The white knight fucking guy.
Hey, leave her alone.
And he's fucking got his dick out.
The one that wants to save
her. It's already hard.
Yeah. Shit.
But I'm just amazed that you got it to the point where they walk around naked. Like, it didn't start out that way. You had to slowly ease into that.
Well,
no?
Yeah. It's a badge of freedom, you know. It's a way, even if these people aren't the type to normally do that, you know, it's a way of saying, man, we're free this weekend. We're free for these 5 days, 4 days, whatever it is. We're free. And that's why you get people who maybe not normally flaunt their titties flaunting away, because, man, they just want to wave that flag. You know, they just want to
take
advantage of the opportunity. I can do this, so I'm doing it, you know.
And how many people will attend the festival in 4 days?
You know, we were talking about this the other day. It swings back and forth, you know. One year it'll be about 6,000, the next year it'll be 16,000, and then we'll put together a killer lineup, and we'll be like, this year it's easily going to be 20,000, and then it'll go back down to 6,000. You know what I mean?
And it goes back down
to 6,000. So it really it's just wildly different all the time. You know what I mean?
And it's impossible to get an exact count because so many people sneak in.
Oh, you know, really? So, yeah.
I mean, it's just a campground in the middle.
Yeah, it's
kind of
hard.
Nothing,
you're not going to fence off a whole friggin' area.
Right, like
area,
crazy acres.
Yeah.
How did you choose that place? Because they say it is in the middle of nowhere. It's hard to get cell service. What made that the place you guys said, let's do it?
This really genuinely is the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, straight up.
I'm talking about, man, 30 miles west of nothing and 45 kilometers near bomb testing sites. It's way the middle of fucking Booney Tunes. And that's another part of the freedom, you know, because it's not even near civilization. Cell phones go out 30 miles around the gathering.
Wow. Wow.
People complain about other festivals where they don't get internet. Cell phones.
Yeah, you ain't using your phone.
With the wind at the gathering, you can't have no cell phone technology. You can't have none of that. None of that flavor. It's like primitive living. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
In this day and age, not to have your cell phone for 4 or 5 days.
People freak out. Yeah, yeah.
Your fans have to love you.
Some people freak out over it.
What are some of the events at the festival for the people that don't know?
Well, just saying one thing about the cell phones.
Yeah.
Thing. It, strangely enough, there's this stone pig. It's like a statue
pig.
Yeah,
that's right. I forgot about that.
And if you stand on top of the pig and lean down and stick your finger in its butthole, you will get reception. And I'm serious about that. I'm serious. On all the grounds, the only place you got to go to sit on a pig or stand on it, stick your finger in the butthole.
Wow, and
your
phone,
strangely enough, gets reception. Nice. It's wonderful.
I'd like to see that happen.
So to know, in case of emergencies, you are covered.
Right,
in case of emergencies, stick that finger in the butthole, and you'll be all right.
Did you guys, because you fucking do everything yourself, and what point did you say, like, enough with worried about record labels and the industry and the business, and we're just going to make this happen with just us? Like, what happened that got you to that point where you just kind of said, fuck it, let's do this ourselves?
Because every label we've been on, you know what I'm saying, it's the same old story. You know, they don't know how to market us. They don't know what to do with us and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, we've been on mad different labels, but we never got kicked off a label. We always found a loophole to get out or something. You know what I'm saying?
So, where do you market something like us?
Right.
Though,
so, I mean, nobody knows how to do it but us, you know? So we're just like, all right, who needs that? You know what I'm saying?
It's like, fuck it, I'm making a movie.
You're
right. You're like, fuck, let's make a Western.
Well, you know, they want to promote it. They want to promote it, but there's no, you know, why make a video? Nobody's going to spin it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
No, channels are going to spin it. They never have, you know?
Right.
And they want to be able to support.
No radio stations are going to play it. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, how do they do that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody understands how to do it but us, you know? Even if we have meetings and tell them, they never do it anyhow.
They wouldn't do it anyway. Right.
You know?
Right.
So you guys just do it. Now with being online in the last 20 years, I mean, it's gotten better and better and better. So it's like, it's got to be, it's harder in 1989 to pull off viral stuff. It's like a fucking videotape.
Right.
And now you just upload it, and it's so much easier to not depend on the industry.
Let me tell you about the 1998 days. Physical work, brother. I'm serious. Physical pressing up samplers.
All
and
right.
Physically hitting this town and looking for the strips where all the cars are bumping
Jesus
up and down
Christ.
The avenue and handing them out left and right, you know what I'm saying? Going to the high schools at 3 o'clock, and when the bell rings, I have every exit covered and hitting them up with samplers. So every
clubs
kid coming
night,
out of high school,
you know,
is getting a sampler, and then pack those vans up and roll to the next town the next day. So you're there in the morning, you're there at night, and out of these high schools, you know, thinking of where the most people are going to be so you can hand out these samplers. That was honestly how we did it in the early days, you know, flyer and sampler. We used to look forward to New Year's Eve just because we knew the clubs would be full. You know what I mean? We can get more flyering done. It was like relentless, you know, that was the way we did it. And so when bands ask today, how do you do it today, you know, it's different because a lot of the technology we used to do is gone. I mean, it's the other way around.
Right. We used to literally spend like 48 hours straight at Kinko's. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you'd have to go to the print places, fucking.
Right. It's like, what do you need Kinko's for?
Shoving shit under windshield wipers.
We lived at Kinko's, man. Mm-hmm. We had all the benefits of Kinko's.
That's fucked up, man.
You paid your dues. Damn. You really paid your dues and fucking did all this legwork that a lot of bands don't have to do or wouldn't be willing to do. And had you just depended on the industry, they might have let you guys go away. It's great that you didn't fucking let that happen.
We've been let go away plenty of times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like just sent, you know, just figured, fuck them, you know. But we always find a way to, you know, keep it moving. And truly, the good, it's a lot of beauty to be an underground, you know what I'm saying? And I mean that. When you're underground, your destiny is in your hands.
Yeah.
Think about it. You know, not to say anything's wrong with Kid Rock, but think about being like an artist. Like, well, Kid Rock's different because he's at that Malta huge level. Of
right, he's at that.
But
think
you're in a band, right? And MTV picked up your new single. You know, you just were released this year. You got a hit single. You're in effect. You're touring. You got this hit single. Everybody's looking to see who you are. It's all in effect. Then next year or the year comes after that, it's time for your new album. You better hope MTV or whoever is in the same mood they were 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. When your CD comes flying across their desk, because they might be like, fuck this band. You know what I'm saying? And then you're done with after that.
Wow,
you
yeah.
have no that... backup plan. You know what I mean? Once somebody somewhere, once some bigwig says, I don't want to fuck with it, you know, or I'm not feeling that no more. You know, my little sister used to play that shit to death, got me bored.
Oh, no man. More
of that. You know what I mean? That's it. You're done with. But at least when you're underground, when you're doing it yourself, it's all up to you how successful you want to be. Only there's a cap. You can't be too successful, but at least you can survive, and that's a definite. You know you can get out there and pound the pavement and hit the road and stay on the road and stay at work as long as you need to be relevant.
Right, right.
And to maintain and to be, you know, part of the industry. And it work is hard work, but at least your fate is in your own hands, and it's not right. up to somebody else who's having a bad day. It says, fuck them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you're bummed out from there. Next thing you know, your record label drops you. It's just not happening like it was a couple years ago. You know, sorry.
Right.
And it sucks because you had nothing to do with it, whether that shit was good or not. Doesn't matter, you know?
So, how often are you doing stuff for the band? Is it every day?
Yeah. We have a building.
Every day.
We have a building with 34 employees in one of them, and another building with, I believe, 6 employees. And, it's all day, every day. You know, every.
What kind of stuff
day.
Do they do on a regular day?
Because no one really knows the business of this. You know, it's
I mean,
crazy.
We got like a video department. We got like a
we got four guys.
Department,
four guys working in the video department, and they're putting together the infomercials. They're putting together the regular commercials. You know, they're putting together our videos. They're putting together little.
We got
merchandise about us. You know,
we got a whole warehouse just for printing merchandise. You know,
we
what
got.
I'm saying?
Not only do we have a web store that ships and orders from anywhere in the world, you know, but we also have a web store down the street that actually creates the shit, you know, the screen printing, the web embroidering, all of that shit, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we do everything, and then you go upstairs, we got people who run the websites, not only of InsaneClownPosse.com, but also all the other groups on our label, you know. So we got a hard-working gang of people. And every morning, we sit around this big presidential table. You should see this motherfucking table, man. I don't know where we got it, but it had to be straight out of the Oval Office. This motherfucker's
presidential
big.
Table.
And it's huge. And we sit. Everybody sits around it. We kind of go around a table. Everybody talks about what everybody's doing. That way, everybody can give advice to everybody. And mm-hmm. everybody's kind of involved in everything going on. And it's just that. It's every day, man. It's hard work, but...
How long you guys shit. Been at it?
Since 1989.
Wow. Over 20 years.
And you guys met in Detroit. Did you guys come up with any of the other ones we know? Like Eminem? And
all of them.
All
yeah.
of them?
Yeah.
You're all about the same age?
Well, yeah, Eminem was a little bit different. You know, Kid Rock...
I know you guys didn't really like each other.
Well, Eminem...
Didn't see eye to eye.
Eminem kind of came up a different...
Yeah, a whole place. Different route. Because in Detroit, when we were coming up, that was like the big thing was, you know... pressing up your own records, going around, putting them on consignment, whatnot, you know what I'm saying?
Doing
that
it was, all yourself.
Right,
you know?
He was more like, you know,
looking for a record
battle
deal.
Rapping in a circle and, you know, sending out his demos.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You know, he was taking the approach, which is fine, there's two different approaches. There's, you know, prove yourself that you can sell records by doing it on your own and fuck waiting for a record label. Just get out there and grind and press up, you know, get your first $500 and press up your first 500 cassettes. Sell those and try to order 1,000 cassettes, you know, that route. And then there's the other route where you're entering the freestyle battles and you're showing you got skills and talent and you're out there grinding, trying to get discovered, you know,
right. Yeah,
which
yeah.
is another smart way to do it, obviously. And so, Eminem's circle was in a circle that we weren't really a part of. You know what I mean? We didn't hang out at the places they hung out at. We didn't really do the shows with the people they were doing shows with. It was just different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Kid Rock was heavily a part of what we were doing.
Yeah,
Kid Rock was out there grinding years before, you know, he made anything happen. He was grinding. He deserves everything he's got in reality, you know. And he's not even our friend. We're just saying,
oh, no.
Right. I mean, I don't like him. I don't like his music, but I gotta respect him. You, know
you don't like him?
No.
Why?
No,
why?
Just, you know, even back in the day when we were all coming up, you know, yeah. just a big head kid, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know what I'm saying? But I got to respect him like crazy because of, you know, the grind he put in before he blew up into a mega star.
No one handed it to him.
No, so yeah.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Exactly.
But what was the problem with Eminem?
Well, you know, you know, like you guys, the first time we ever met him,
yeah,
he came into a club, and it was kind of like it was a hip hop night at the club, you know, and we don't normally go there anyway, and we usually be outside of the clubs.
Yeah,
flying,
we never was know? Just in clubs hanging out. You know?
Yeah.
But for some reason, we were up in there that night, and he came up to us and gave us a flyer, and it said,
"Now, mind you, didn't nobody know who this guy was? I mean, you know, he didn't have a name out there or nothing in Detroit.
We never heard of him. We might have heard of the name or something, right. But that was it." But he gave us a flyer and it said, come to Eminem's record release party, you know, a special guest, maybe. And it said ICP, Kid Rock, and Esham, who were like the three top names of Detroit at that time. And it said, maybe, you know what I mean?
They had question marks after.
And I was like, why do you got a name? Why do you got our name on there? Like, we might be there. And he was like, cuz, you might be there. I'm asking you now. And I'm like, well, fair enough. You know what I'm saying? That's not a bad way to promote it.
It's kind of ballsy.
We might be like, well, maybe Dr. Dre will be at our shit. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, it's true. We might have been there if everything would have been, maybe we would have hit it off that night and been cool, you know? But, we were just like, man, don't promote our name on there without talking to us. You know, that's just kind of shitty, you know. And then next thing you know, he was blowing up and he was doing little interviews around Detroit. And he was dissing us in the paper here and there and saying they don't count. Clown rap don't count, which is pretty much how we've always been treated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, clowns. How you take this shit seriously, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
To this day, we don't get taken seriously. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, why should we? You know, we love it now. We love not being taken seriously.
Was there a point where you wanted to be taken seriously, or did you always just say, fuck it, just...
I think in the beginning, we probably wanted to be taken seriously, yeah. But you know, we have no complaints of where we're at now.
No,
I wouldn't this for nothing.
I wouldn't doubt it.
But did you ever think of, like, along that line, did you ever think of, like, kind of, all right, we should change this because they're not accepting it? Not out of artistically we don't care, but, like, fuck, man, this is frustrating. Before you actually went off and did your own thing.
Nope. Never thought about changing nothing.
No.
You know what I'm saying? That was just the path it was on, you know? And, you know.
We were so driven, man.
Yeah, big time.
We thought what we were doing was so fucking fresh, man. It was guaranteed to hit, man.
And it was. I mean, in Detroit, it's like we were like mega stars in Detroit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then once it started catching everywhere else, that's where it started. You know, people were like, you know. Because you got to understand, in Detroit back in the day, you know what I'm saying, back in like the early 90s or whatnot, everybody that was coming out of Detroit had some kind of shtick to him, some kind of gimmick, you know what I'm saying? One of the guys on top, his name was Esham, you know what I'm saying? He was like a satanic guy that rapped about the devil and shit, you know what I'm saying? On stage, he'd like come out of a coffin and all that shit, you know, and it'd be set up like a graveyard and all that, you know? Then you had Kid Rock, he was like the hillbilly rapper kid,
uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
He would be driving a tractor in his videos,
right.
You know, with cowboy hat on.
I mean, everybody, even like kids that were like barely even known or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Would wear a pumpkin mask or, you know, saying they'd be doing whatever, you know, everybody was doing that shit in Detroit, you know,
like wrestling, they had like a gimmick, you know,
right.
That was what Detroit was doing back then, you know, and if you really think about it, a lot of the rack that throughout Detroit's history has been like that too, you know, even if they weren't from Detroit and if they had a gimmick, they did well in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
Like Kiss,
yeah.
Like Alice Cooper, you know what I mean, if you were doing some old outrageous crazy shit, Detroit loves you.
Why Detroit doing the outrageous stuff?
Probably because it's outrageous and crazy to live there. You know what I'm saying? It's like a nuclear war zone there, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah, there's a lot of outrageous acts that came from Detroit.
Yeah, that's Kiss's biggest market.
Right, sure.
I think that was the first one.
You guys still out of Detroit, or have you moved on from living there? Or?
Well, you know, we live...
I live way out, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's still, you know, southeast
still
of
home.
Michigan.
Yeah,
yeah,
we live in Detroit, but we don't live in the city. We live on the outside, but...
Is the city as bad as they say? It's really falling apart?
It sucks, yeah.
There's good parts.
They try like, you know, building up some of the shitty parts, but there's just too many shitty parts to stay on top of,
Christ.
I guess. You know what I'm saying?
My beef with Detroit is, you know... is everything's divided by races. Like, one street will divide, you know, white people and black people. One street for miles, you know?
It's insane. On the east side, there's a city called Grosse Pointe, which, like, butts up against Detroit. And there's actually a fucking wall separating that suburb from Detroit in people's backyards. You know what I'm saying? Goes right. A fucking like 9 foot tall wall. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's insane.
So these rich people got this huge wall in their backyard, you know, and over that wall, it's like a ghetto neighborhood, you know?
Uh-huh.
And that wall runs for miles and miles. It's just fucked up, man.
Wow.
That's my beef, because once we started traveling, we started to see that, you know?
Right, you'd be like at a nice restaurant or something, you know what I'm saying? Like, in the middle of a neighborhood somewhere, and you'd be like, oh, we must be, and you'd be like in, say, I don't know, Dallas or something, you know what I'm saying? And you'd ask the waitress or whatever, you'd be like, where are we at? She'd be like, in Dallas. Well, I understand that, but like, what city outside of Dallas?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, you're actually in Dallas.
It's like, oh, man.
This is weird. You know what I'm saying? What?
I didn't see the wall. What happened?
you got a Fridays in Dallas? Because we didn't have shit like that in the city.
Yeah, yeah.
There wasn't no malls or Bennigan's or no shit like that in the city limits.
What were you doing before
No 7-Elevens in Detroit. Like,
no. No, they'd be ravaged, I would gather. What were you doing before the band? Did you work?
Oh, yeah, we were, well, I worked over 50 jobs. I mean, you name it, I did it from car wash to dishwasher and all that shit.
Uh-huh.
But our freshest job was pro wrestling, you know. We were wrestlers, and Shaggy was my manager for the most part, but he was also a wrestler.
Yeah.
Did you guys come close to making it in that world?
You know, later, we went to WWE, and
right.
we had a run there as ICP.
Right.
But it wasn't because we were great wrestlers. It was because of ICP.
Right.
You know?
I remember that.
I wish I could sit here and say, yeah, we did. We made it because of our wrestling skills. You know? And we also went to WCW, too, which was a dream come true, you know? We could brag about that shit forever. But back in the day, before ICP, we were wrestling around the Midwest, you know, taking bookings, you know, for $75, get out there and only get paid $15.
$15 for taking some fucking bumps all night?
It was like 20 people, you know what I'm saying, in a high school gym or the BFW hall.
Wow.
That's
the independent wrestling circuit, man.
Right.
And sitting in the dressing room with big, fat, naked dudes with
right, you're marinating, you're like 17 years old, right? There's an 80-year-old guy with his, like, old dick.
80-year-old balls looking right at you. You know, just sitting there. Hey, come over here. Let me give you some advice. Come here, sit down. You're like, no.
Right, just converse and asshole naked. Who does that? Wrestlers do, you know?
Go ahead, sit right here.
You just can't put some underwear or something on, guy.
It's really easy to put underpants on. It's really not that much of a...
I think I almost stepped on your balls. Don't worry about those. I can't feel them.
Fuck, man, you guys, wow.
So, but yeah, wrestling was
fucking
shit.
Hard.
Once again, don't, man, that's no, you know, man, we love the fact that we did wrestling, you know what I mean? We love every hardship, man. We're so happy, we're so proud. You gotta understand, when you come up with nothing, it doesn't take much to make you appreciate happiness, you know? If you come up with little, it's only takes little to make you feel like you made it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how little did you guys come up with? What kind of families did you come from?
Pretty fucking little.
Really?
Close to nothing.
Close to nothing.
Yeah.
Food stamps, powdered milk, you know, little. Hunger Barrel food used to come to our house. You know
The charity organizations.
Oh, yeah. I mean, real rock bottom.
Got one outfit for the school year.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
Oh, man,
When we were little, it was like, but you know, but listen, man.
You don't realize it when you're super, you know, small kid. You know,
but, no, it's just life, older, like, you know? As a kid, you're just like, oh, this is kind of...
Right. We had the best childhood possible, though. We had the best childhood. I mean, that was going on, yes. And that was weighing on our mom's minds, you know what I mean? But we had the best fucking childhood possible. We were off exploring in the woods. We were making the best out of every situation, you know? And honestly, man, my childhood was I wouldn't change a thing about it,
mm-hmm.
man. You know, it was so fun and hanging with each other and each other's brothers. And the four of us doing things, man, we just, you know, we conquered the world.
So you knew each other your whole life?
Yeah, you guys, pretty much.
I was like 10 years old.
Really?
Yeah, wow. Like but that. It wasn't bad when you found some money.
No.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That made being poor a lot easier.
Yeah.
But for a long, long time, though, every little bit of money that came went back into the pot.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Back into the pot, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you guys just believed, because at any moment that it wouldn't, there was a chance it wasn't going to work out for you.
Well, it was like everything was going back into the pot,
right?
And then once more and more money was coming into the pot, you know, little things started becoming like, You know, like we would be making nothing, right? But every once in a while, we'd ask our manager, "Hey man, can I get a new pair of shoes?" And once those yeses became easier, and
you realize, oh, okay.
But what was the first big thing you bought where you went, oh fuck,
pair of shoes?
those $50, those fresh ass $50 hookups were pretty fresh. You know, like we were like, this is rap money. This is fucking rap money right here, man. High fiving each other. You know,
you got to understand, there was like, especially back then, there was no big lump sum of money that came in, so there was no purchase. It was like, man, we made it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, you finally get a used shitty car.
Yeah,
you
real know slowly. And, it just, you know, saying, you know, finally, you we'd know, come in.
We lived in, we had a $250 apartment with a transvestite who hung out on the front porch, and like a homeless transvestite, and we lived in an area called Cass Corridor, Detroit, and we lived in one apartment. Me and Shaggy and Billy, and then my brother somehow.
This is a one bedroom apartment.
From us, shit. You know, and we were right next to each other. And once again, you know, does everything suck? It's supposed to, but we were just so focused and dedicated on what we were doing. Mm-hmm. It was awesome, man.
And when you have the right people you're hanging out with, like, that you could just laugh about shit.
It doesn't matter. You know,
it makes it that much better. Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, we bring girls over the house. We'd be like, yeah, we're broke. You know, we try to use that as our,
That's your in?
Yeah, you know, broke. We try to spin it on them. You know, what, you too good because we're broke? You know, no, it's not
nice,
like that.
Nice, a guilt
like
fuck.
That. Yeah, you know. I actually remember that game.
Oh, you're too good for us?
I could spit that game today, man. I remember using that shit.
Did you guys have bad management at all? Like, did you ever have a point? Like, every artist musically seems like they go through that thing where the fucking managers steal their money. Did you have to deal with that at first, or did you were you able to kind of avoid that?
Because our manager was never a stranger. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just somebody we hired. You know what I'm saying? It was always, you know what I'm saying? We've only had two in our whole career. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, two managers.
The first one was the guy that started off everything with us, and the second guy is our lifelong friend. You know what I'm saying?
So, and our first manager came at us about 10 years ago or something. You know, we've been around 22 years, and he came around us maybe 8 years ago, and he said, look, man, you know, we got platinum and gold albums on the wall. We pretty much accomplished everything we set out to do. When you guys came to me and asked me to be your managers, it was never my goal or dream to be a manager, you know? So I agreed to do it then, and it was interesting, and we did it, and now we've done all this, came all this way. You guys are doing really good, you know? I'm going to step out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to step out because I want to do something else in my life as well. I've did this. This was your guys' dream. I'm going to step out. You know what I mean? He stepped out, and then it wasn't until a couple years later when we put our friend, who's now our manager, Billy Bill, in position, that we found out he left with millions and millions.
Oh, your ex?
Oh,
the ex-manager?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
How do you do it?
That's all right, man. It's all good.
But how do you do it?
What are you, a snake?
He left us with a lot of bills he never told us about, you know what I mean? A lot of manufacturing bills and crazy
See,
shit.
See, we always knew he was a super-duper, like, venomous snake, you know what I'm saying? But our whole thing was, but he's our snake. He's snaking for us, right. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. We knew he was filthy, but we figured he was filthy for us.
Right. He bit you a little when he was slithering away, huh?
Wow. So do you guys, now you're probably more in, like, something, managing your money and being, like, because you seem like good businessmen. Like, you guys know what you want, and you know how to get it done, so you're probably more focused on, let's, you know, keep our eye on everything so no one can do that again.
Oh yeah, well the guy that's with us has been with us from day one. You know, he was in our squad.
He also dropped out in ninth grade.
Right?
We all used to do when we were kids, we all used to do a paper route together, you know? And so we've been with him forever, you know? And then, like, the guy out there managing us today on the road, that's my brother, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's been with us from day one, obviously, you know? So yeah. We got a very small, close-knit family. The people at the office and all those employees and stuff like that, you know, a lot of those are friends from the past. A lot of them aren't. But we don't let anybody get too close. You know what I'm saying? We keep everybody in good positions when they're happy. And we don't want anybody to grow mad or salty. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah,
if you guys
want
to shoot something, this is a question. Because I have all these ideas or these things, and it doesn't come to fruition. Say let's shoot this video. I want to do this. Who do you have a guy in your camp that just will kind of put everything together, like a production guy? Like you'll say, hey, whoever, we want to do this, make it happen. And he lines up everything and says, okay, well, if you want to do it, I got the crew and we'll do it.
Yeah. His name is Brian Kuma. And we go right to him, just like you said. You know, we want to shoot a video for this song.
Get the
song.
Location, you know.
And he'll be like, he'll grab his pen and get all excited. And then we'll be like, he'll be like, what do you want to do? You know, do you have any ideas? And he'll get all excited and geeked up. And then we'll be like, yeah, we want to, you know, if we have any, if we don't have any ideas, we'll be like, come on, man, you start thinking about it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then he'll start thinking about it, come back a couple of days, got some flavor on the mind, you know. But that, man, we got a lot of really, really, really bomb-ass employees back there, man. We were really blessed, man. Super blessed, you know.
If you get into any brawls with anybody that you work with, sometimes, you know, you're close like that, friends working together, kind of mix it up every so often. You ever?
No, absolutely.
Never had to punch anyone in the face.
as people that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's an old psychopathic rule, you know? An old psychopathic rule.
Yep.
If you fight
true
with
shit,
anybody.
True shit. If you're about to get into a fight with somebody, you're mad enough where you're about to fist fight.
And the other guy wants to fight too, you both have to get naked and fight butthole naked.
Angry so, right?
Therefore, suddenly you're two men rolling around naked with each other. If you want to fight, you can fight like that. You know what I mean?
That's hilarious.
That way we're laughing at both of you while you're doing it.
Yeah, no shit.
Sam's a big fan. You got a question there, Sam?
I can ask you questions all day. On the wrestling thing, where was the toughest locker room to deal with? Because I would imagine, you know, you guys said you come in not because you're great wrestlers, because you're the ICP. That probably didn't sit well.
WWF was that was the most trying for us, you know what I'm saying? Because everybody that was in WWF, or WWE now, whatever it's supposed to be called.
Yeah.
But, you know what I'm saying? They were like, well, you're not wrestlers. So, you know what I'm saying? You'd be getting punched for real and stuff.
We had some drama in WWE.
You know, but
are you talking about...
Why, they didn't like that you had some heat, so they're going to make it hurt a little bit, right?
Well, we got into it, in WWE. Like, a lot of wrestlers didn't respect the fact we were there.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
So they would go over backstage what we were going to do, and then when we got out there, it was fight time.
Wow.
You know, and that wasn't with everybody. That was only with the guys that were our age. The legends, like the Road Warriors or something, you get out there and it would be easy as hell.
Huh.
They would be cool as hell with you, you know? But if you were fighting, wrestling some up-and-comer group your age, did they feel like you're threatening their spot? Look out, man.
Anyone you would name?
Yeah. They would give you the beatdown.
No, I mean, do you name names or no? Anyone that gave you a good beating?
There are friends now. Yeah, we're friends with them. You know, groups like for wrestling fans, the Headbangers. We went toe to toe with the Headbangers. You know,
oh man.
And then they would come busting in the dressing room after the show was over and be like, how was it, guys? And we'd be like, good.
Wow, great. Just cheap.
Because we didn't want to bitch. You know what I mean? We didn't want to sound like pussies. You know, so we'd be like, it was great. It was great. You know?
See, the whole thing with like. Me and the whole wrestling thing is I can't stand being in wrestling locker rooms. They're like horrible to me. You know what I'm saying? Number one, the nudity. You know what I'm saying? I just hate the whole politics of behind the scenes politics of wrestling. You know what I'm saying? It's just crazy. It's like everybody just you know what I'm saying? Especially like when you got TV involved, you know, just backstabbing and hating on each other for like 30 seconds of TV time and whatnot. You know
what
I'm saying?
Think about this.
It's crazy, man.
Huh.
It's crazy.
Let's say a wrestling show is 2 hours long, right? A concert is 2 hours long. A wrestling show, you got 20 wrestlers all jockeying for position. You know what I mean? They all want that shine. They go out there. They only get the spotlight for a little bit. As for a band, goes out there and they can play by themselves for an hour.
Or
but wrestlers
10 hours.
Go out
right,
there, they
right.
got 10 minutes at the most to right. shine. So they want to, you know, backstage, it's all like, you know, A lot of conniving and you know, shucking and jiving and people wanting to, you know, stab somebody for that spot, man.
You know, Greg, it's funny, the show you guys have on Fuse, it's called the Insane Clown Posse Theater, and it's on Wednesdays at 11 o'clock. And they asked me to do it and to go on, and I didn't recognize Greg Valentine. I didn't realize that was the Hammer.
Oh, of course.
Until yeah. the until he came, I was, you know, at first I thought it was like some guy with a wig who's like pretending to be a lady. I'm like, who is that? And then when he guides me off at the end, I'm like, this is fucking Greg. I think I even said that you're Greg the Hammer. I couldn't fucking believe you got him to just stand there in that silly fucking hat. It was unbelievable that he was a part of that show.
Hell yeah, man. He was the first guy we called, you know? He's got the perfect face. We figured, you know, we wanted the character where something funny goes off and everybody's laughing, and then you cut to the guy who doesn't find it funny at all.
Yes, you know, that's stone the face.
What a better face.
Greg the Hammer, you know what I mean?
He's perfect for it, right?
Nothing's funny about that shit. However, he's laughing all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not the kind of guy that, you know, that's just nature. So that's cool, too. You know, we love him however he comes, you know.
He was very pleasant. He was surprisingly nice off the air. He's like, oh, I really enjoy your stuff. I was like, Jesus, fucking the Hammer said talking this pleasantly. It's weird when you see people off camera how nice they are.
Sam, what are we missing here?
Well, what about, I'm wondering about critics, because obviously you guys are saying you don't get taken seriously and you get a lot of heat in print and in radio and stuff, but these are people that don't have to deal with you face to face. Like when you meet people face to face, do you find that they're singing a different song?
Oh, no question, man.
They do.
Of course, that's everybody.
Right. It is, right?
Yeah, that's most
and
critics.
The thing about critics is whatever they're critiquing and whatever, like a music critic or a movie critic, 9 times out of 10, they're somebody who failed at that profession. You know what I'm saying? Like music critics, you know, they're probably like in some stale band, you know what I'm saying? But usually they've tried to break into the business and they flopped. You know what I'm saying?
They're a little bitter.
Or they've had a record deal and they just were shitty and it fell apart. You know what I'm saying? So that's their main goal in life now, is to sit there and rip other people apart because they suck.
Because they want to contribute and be a part of it somehow, and they can't do it on the artistic side. So they figure, well, I'll get the respect of the artist and be a member of this community by sitting there and critiquing.
And that's not an extent. That's even like movie critics. Like, what's the guy that had no fucking chin or whatever then?
Jim Norton.
Yeah. No, Siskel and Ebert's guy. Yeah, you know, Ebert. Yeah. He's got like super shitty movies he directed back in the day that are just horrible. Right. You know what I'm saying? So what does he do later on? He becomes a movie critic. You know what I'm saying? Just disses everything. You know, boy, and his shit's the worst ever.
I remember when we were first coming up, you know, in like 1995 or something, Spin Magazine called us and they were like, we want to do a story on you guys. We were still basically local then. We were like, hell yeah, Spin Magazine, what? So then this four or five page comic strip about us comes out about 2 months later, and it portrays us in the most horrible light,
shit.
You know? Totally dissing the hell out of us, totally dissing the Juggalos, calling the, you know,
making us be racist,
Juggalos,
and stuff.
Racist, and all kind of ill shit. And who wrote it? Two guys that were in a band called Big Chief back in the day that were this close to making it from Detroit, but just didn't quite do it. So then they see ICP blowing through all the shit, blowing past them, doing better than a lot of bands, and they just had so much anger in them, they somehow worked it out, and they were the ones that wrote that story, you know? And these were our friends, man. You know what I mean?
Wow, man.
Just jealous. Just
jealousy
fucking jealous.
The fullest, man. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that, because that was the first time that happened, and from there, I've seen a career full of it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys get black crowds as well as white crowds? Like, do you, like, because was there any resistance from black audiences to you guys being white in hip-hop, or no?
No, not really. No resistance. Nobody's saying, you know, coming and having a beef about it, you know. But I'd say our audiences are mostly white, but depends on where you're at in the country, you know. But I just try not to pay attention.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all fine by us, you know what I mean.
And the event, the gathering of the Juggalos is August 7th through the 11th. And I am performing there on the Friday night.
Hell yeah!
Charlie Murphy is there, I think, on the Saturday in the comedy tent.
That's pretty cool, man.
JuggaloGathering.com for tickets and all the information you want. And Juggalo, it has two G's in it. But I'm looking forward to and afraid of this gig all at the same time. Like, it could be terrible and frightening, or it could be fucking great. But
it'll be great.
Oh, good.
You're going to love it, Jimmy. Well, I want to know more about the gathering in general. Like, what goes on? You guys perform every day, obviously.
We do something every day, but we do three like main performances. Our set, a set for another group of ours called Dark Lotus and another group called Psychopathic Riders.
We have
But we do like in store, you know, we do like, you know,
appearances and stuff. Yeah. Like
Seminars.
Seminars on what?
Us, you know, like giving all the news of what we're going to be doing in the next year.
Yeah, every day we have seminars. Different people that are there will do like seminars. A lot of people just kind of do like a Q&A, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
as
far
as the seminars go. But we like just drop news, you know what I'm saying?
Tell everybody what our future plans are for the next year and what we're going to be up to. And then like Shaggy said, you know, there's ICP, which is me and Shaggy, of course. And then there's also super groups on our label. There's two of them. One of them is called Dark Lotus, which is made up of ICP and a group called Twisted and another called Blaze Your Dead Homie. The five of us come together and form as Dark Lotus. We don't get the tour, but maybe once every 3 years. However, we play every year at the gathering, you know, and that's a big deal for the Juggalos.
Do you wear the makeup when you're in Lotus?
Masks or we wear a different type of makeup.
Right.
You know? And then there's also Psychopathic Riders, which is the same five under gangwear, like, you know, like Crips and Bloods,
and we just totally jack other people's beats and just do like spit like ridiculous gangster rap over
it. We say fuck like copyright and we just use everybody's beats we want.
We sell it over the internet.
So,
right, it's not like a mixtape where people pull it out of the internet for free rapping over people's shit. We sell it.
We sell it and we put it out. And we don't even know where it says the label. It doesn't say Psychopathic Records, our label. It says Joe and Joey Records, you know, and it says copy wrong.
Hey, do you guys ever, because like you're listening to you, like you're really smart business guys, and like colleges or people that have these speakers come in and talk about the business or music, they should ask you to come in and talk, because I think what you do is more inspirational to an artist who is struggling and new than to have somebody who has just made it the conventional way, because your way is a way that guys can actually go out and really try to push themselves as opposed to just waiting for someone to recognize them.
Mm. Well, you know, I think there's so much you can do today, though, with the internet alone, you know, even beyond what we could tell them. Like,
right, there's so many people that got, you know, with major, major deals that, like, started out from a viral video, you know what I'm
saying?
Like,
today, groups are blowing up off viral videos is what I'm trying to say. I think that's the quickest route. Like, if you can think of something, you know, witty and you know, attention deserving and fresh, to stick on there for 10 minutes or even 4 minutes up on YouTube, you can blow up off that shit.
Right. I mean, even if, like, you know what I'm saying, your music sucks and you got an awesome video, like, what's that rapper Soulja Boy, you know what I'm saying? It was just horrendous. You know what I'm saying? But he was so large, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because of YouTube, you know?
And so did Justin Bieber. You know, he blew up off YouTube and a lot of guys are doing it, you know. And even if you're not able to dance or be cute or any of that shit, you can take your music and put it to something, some footage that's good, and put it on YouTube. Like maybe all car crashes. You know, you can't take your eyes off that. So that shit's going viral. Everybody's watching car crash after car crash, but they're listening to your shit.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, the internet is really still opening doors that we're still trying to run through, man.
Mm-hmm.
I feel weird in a position trying to teach when we're still so much learning, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still a direction I think that's really, really most people wouldn't go in. And you wind up doing it and making it. Like, it's instead of dropping out and listening to the labels, you went and you made it, which is amazing.
Because the labels don't know shit. They're no superheroes. They don't know more than any of us, you know. When you guys are sitting around and thinking about what's best for your band, you're probably right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And no label knows more than you just deserve a record label.
Right, they just got a lot of money and connections. You know what I'm saying? They throw a lot of money at the radio programmers. They throw a lot of money at MTV or whatever video outlet, you know what I'm saying, to get shit spun.
Especially,
that's the only benefit they have over independent people.
You get to the label, you start talking to people at the label, and you find out these guys don't really know shit, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought this is where the, you know, this is where the geniuses were, and this is how to hold the matrix.
That's what every business you realize from everything. From your first job, maybe washing dishes in a restaurant, you realize the guy that runs the restaurant is a fucking asshole. Right. He doesn't know anything. Up to anything. And you go and you think it's like, it's got to get different at a certain point where someone's got to know what the fuck they're doing. You realize, no.
Right.
No one knows what the fuck they're doing.
Except you.
Yes. You know what's best for you and what you want to do.
That's right.
And speaking of the viral videos, you guys have had a few. Miracles being one of them, of course. And I just checked my Twitter. Everyone's like, you got to ask them about magnets.
Yeah.
Got to ask them about the magnets.
Well, you know,
were you surprised by the success of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Super.
How big did that get?
It didn't go like, you know.
Yeah, it's no side numbers.
but you were pretty impressed by how many views.
For us, it was insane. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. It's crazy.
I like the fact you're honest, too. Like, you know, you said one year you'll have 6,000, the next year 16,000, mm-hmm. and then next year 6,000. Like, there's an honesty in that, which is great. And too many people are obsessed with self-promotion and just don't tell the truth about it. Yeah, it's great.
Especially with us. You know, people love digging into our shit and, like, trying to expose us for being bullshit. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, if we ain't truthful, somebody's going to dig into it and be like, oh, you're liars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many years have you been at it now, as far as the gatherings go?
This is the 13th.
13th.
No, 14th.
Yeah. 14th. Wow.
Fucking amazing.
Man, that is cool. What about the, what's that shit with, like, fucking, was that the FBI saying gang?
Oh, the Juggalos are a gang?
That's, like, that's straight bullshit is what that
what is. That?
You know, once again, you know, people fear what they don't understand, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows what the hell we're doing. We don't count. You know, people don't look at us as a real band. They say, man, these idiots out here, why are they here, you know? And so even the government looks at all our fans getting together and they say, they're a gang, you know? I mean, they've actually named Juggalos, our fans, a gang.
Now, meanwhile, you wouldn't get that from another band and their fans.
No. Believers.
Like, you wouldn't say, oh, I think they're,
the Believers.
They're a gang.
Lady Gaga's Little Monsters are a gang.
Yeah, like, a gang.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what, that just seems like
it's
unbelievable stupidity.
At first,
stupidity.
I thought it was funny. But then you look at it the way it affects people, you know? Mm-hmm. People that maybe have your charm on or this tattooed on their arm or something, and they get pulled over. Next thing you know, they get written up as a gang member. They get busted later with a little pot in their weed, a little weed in their pocket or something. They get sentenced as a gang member now.
Yeah, you know, wow.
Not, you know, people try to join the army. They got this tatted on their arm. They don't get let in. Because they looked at it as a gang member.
Where did the misunderstanding start?
Huh?
Where did it start? Where all of a sudden they decided to name you guys a gang or the fans?
Misunderstanding started when we came out. I'm being honest.
Right.
Like, there was never a time when they were like,
oh, but it wasn't based on some dumb little incident that happened and they blew it out of proportion or anything?
Like, the whole thing is crazy because, like, you know, you got a group of people that are so large, you know what I'm saying? You're going to have all walks of life. You're going to have some crazy people. Yeah, you're going to have some kids that happen to do be in gangs, you know what I'm saying? But, like, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, some hardcore Southside Chicago kid is in a gang and happens to be a Juggalo, doesn't mean that some kid in Spokane, Washington, that, you know, in the suburbs living with Leave It to Beaver style, that happens to be a Juggalo, isn't a gang. You know what I'm saying?
Same thing, right.
Of course. It's like they put their finger, like, everybody's a gang because there are, you know, some. So,
You
know, you're going to tell me that there's not people that love John Cougar Mellencamp that happen to be in a gang?
You're talking to three of them.
Oh, pink houses. It's terrific.
I love John Cougar Mellencamp. I'm not in a gang, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I was a kid, I was.
Do you love
still
the man?
Love him, you know?
Or his music, because we had him in.
The music.
Yeah, we had him in. He's a little rough.
Did he come in?
Oh, a few times.
At NEW, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, anybody like that, you know what I'm saying?
Cause
Steely Dan. I'm sure his gang members listen to Steely Dan. Sure. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But we're fighting it. You know, we're suing
him. Yeah.
You know, we're not just going to. If we don't sue him and the years go by with the FBI saying that Juggalos are a gang, eventually the world would just accept it that they are.
And they would be. And that's
it.
And
have to take our entire legacy and shit on it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can actually win in suing the FBI. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can you actually win something like that? But we'll die fighting it.
Wow.
We'll go broke fighting it.
You still get audited every year. Oh, my God.
Not doing anything about it.
Right.
It's the worst thing.
Yeah.
What about the movies? How well do they do? We saw a clip of the Western this morning.
It's still
doing.
It
made us laugh, man, big time.
It's still doing, you know?
Showtime, it plays on Showtime all the time, you know what I'm saying? It's still going, you know what I'm saying?
It's still going. A movie's a cool thing because it's so nice. It doesn't have to only be hot the year it comes out, you know? We keep looking for new deals and new places to get to play it, you know? And so it's still going, you know.
Yeah.
We're happy with it.
How long did it take you guys to do that? Because the video quality, like the production value in the small clip we saw, it was really good. It wasn't like you guys did it with a home video camera.
Right.
It looked like it was professionally done.
It was decent, yeah.
Yeah.
It was really decent. A lot of surprise cameos from people in it. It's a lot of fun to watch. It's laced with, you know, funny cameos from people.
Well, that's actually what is, like, the inspiration originally for it was, like you said, like, with video cameras and stuff. Because back in the day, like, Master P's movies, before he got, like, serious about it, you know, just a home video. A lot of rappers were doing that, especially, like, B-rappers and stuff. You know, they try to, like, come on the record with a, you know, a hood movie or whatever. And it's just so shitty because, you know, it was a video camera, you know. And we used to always watch those movies and love them because they were so cheesy and shitty, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, back in 1999. We did a movie called Big Money Hustlers, and it was kind of like a spoof off those kind of movies, but it was done good, you know what I'm saying?
It was done professionally.
Right, but it was done like, you know, just like Big Money Hustlers style, or Rustlers style, you know what I'm saying? Just silly shit through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then that was like, you know, Island back in the day getting involved in it, and you know what I'm saying? They threw crazy money at it and whatnot, you know what I'm saying? And then a few years before we did Big Money Rustlers, we did a super B shitty flick called Death Racers, which, you know, is a B flick off Death Racer.
And that was as a favor to a friend.
Right. Well, our friend out in LA, right? Soda, right. And we seen how he's doing it, and we were like, we don't need, you know what I'm saying, some company behind it. We could do this. You know what I'm saying? If he's doing this shit, we could do it.
Uh-huh.
But, you know what I'm saying, with a higher budget. You know what I'm saying? And then so just from learning what we learned from that shitty movie, you know what I'm saying, we were like, well, let's make a sweet movie doing the same shit, you know? And that's, you know,
we got three movies out. Two of them we put out. Only Big Money Hustlers, the latest one, the Western.
That's Rustlers.
Was the one fully we did. That's the one.
That's fucking hilarious. I like how the lingo has nothing to do with the Old West.
Like, wait a minute, what?
And the cowboy hats on with the makeup.
Wow.
And you got nine, man. But he's not concerned with the makeup or anything. It's just the nine cards that he has an issue with. Like, why are you dressed like that? It's the West.
It's fucking hilarious.
The whole movie is stupid like that.
Yeah.
It's like Airplane, you know,
right.
Old school style like that.
Sure. Yeah. Great movie.
Where do you guys stay when you're at the campground? Do you guys just stay in tents, or do you kind of come and go? Because
I got a bus.
Oh, you do have a bus. You stay on the bus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we cruise around on golf carts and check everything out. Check the comedy out. Check the wrestling out. Check the women's oil wrestling out. Check everything that's going on. You know, there's all sorts of fun activities, like they call one of them is night court. And it's where juggalos get out there and have court against each other. And there's like a celebrity judge and celebrity attorneys, you know.
And right. That's the thing about the gathering. It doesn't stop. It's 24 hours something's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not like a period of time where it's just downtime, you know, from like 6 in the morning to like 5. No, it's 24 hours.
It's shut down.
It's
basically the least effective from 6 in the morning to like 1 in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's what I said. But even then, there's still kids
that do shit
at their own campground.
There's hundreds of zombies walking around.
No shit.
Yeah, a lot of sleep deprivation going on, mixed with drugs.
There's hundreds of zombies walking around who are clearly asleep.
Right,
just walking. You just see the fog and the ash from fires and shit. It's crazy.
Wow.
The first one, when you did the first one 14 years ago, whatever it was, like, was that a smaller one that's obviously blown up into something?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the first two, I should say, were held inside of...
One was just a convention center. Then the second and third one were convention center slash hotel things. You know,
so there was a riot one time because somebody showed their tits.
Yeah, somebody punched a police horse in the face.
Oh man!
All kinds of craziness happened, and we didn't know what we were gonna do. And then we decided to try it outdoors. And little did we know, honestly, we had no idea till we did that first one outdoors. And the police weren't allowed on the grounds because it's private property. And it was just euphoria of flavor.
And that, to be honest, that's like a big reason why, you know, any kind of violence whatsoever is so minimal, because there's no police there. You know what I'm saying? There's no the bullies ain't there. You know what I'm saying? Like, put there's that no down, fights. You can't do
and,
that.
And every time that somebody writes about the violence at the gathering, they say, well, there was already a stabbing, you know. They don't write that it was between two hot dog vendors. You know what I'm saying?
Right, nothing to do with us juggalos, nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
They're battling over prices. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
Yeah, we hot dog buns or something. That shit, man. Hmm. You know, they want to make it sound like it's all violence, but to be a juggalo is not easy, okay? To be an ICP fan, to go around waving that flag, is not a well-received thing, you know? People are not like, oh, you're a juggalo? Cool, dude. You know, supposed to be like, you listen to them fucking idiots, you know? And so it's not easy being a juggalo.
Yeah.
However, therefore, when you get to a concert or you get to somewhere like the gathering and you're surrounded by people who share the same interests as you and they share the same type of, you know, love for things, it's like the ice is immediately broken, and these people are your friends, these people are your family, and it's like, you'll see, I promise you, when you get there, you'll be like, man, the minute you walk in, you can just feel the love, man, and that's the real beauty. Everybody that follows ICP, the juggalos, so to speak, they know the real beauty in being a juggalo is not Shaggy and Violent J. You know, we just provided the soundtrack. The real beauty is being a juggalo, man. That's, I mean, and being around other juggalos and being a part of something and not being alone. That's the real beauty of what the Dark Carnival is. And we just make hard songs, you know what I'm saying?
And Jim, you will be part of that.
Yes, I'm performing not this Friday, but a week from this Friday on the 9th. I'll be there. It's an 11 o'clock show in the comedy tent. And again, if you're there the whole weekend or the whole week, Charlie Murphy is headlining the next night. So I'm actually looking forward to it. I think
awesome. It sounds like a blast, man. Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Does my episode,
you
guys
man.
Are cool as fuck.
Does my episode air before that or no? You're not sure. The episode I did with you guys, is that air yet?
This sure. Wednesday, yeah. We're not sure about
I hope it's the next one. I hope it's on Wednesday because it was fucking funny.
Oh, cool, man. Yeah, I'm interested to see how it turned out.
Nice.
Well, I'm glad you guys are here, and I'm looking forward to going out and doing the gig. And go to ICP on Twitter or juggalogathering.com and the Insane Clown Posse Theater. It's Wednesdays at 11 o'clock on Fuse. And I'm not sure if my episode airs, but it was really fun and very silly. And I had a lot more fun doing that than I thought I would. I really enjoyed doing that. That was great.
Hell, it was great, man. I mean, it was beyond good. It felt all right.
You
know what I mean? It felt real good. It was cool. It was just perfect, man. So make sure you check that out. Even if you can't see it live, DVR it, or fucking do something to it. Just see it, man.
I certainly wasn't worried I would say something too rude. I'll say that. That was the beauty of it. I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to piss the guys off if I say cunt. And tomorrow we got Dana White, and I guess that's it for us. Yeah.
This cool, was man. Great, man. Come back and see us, all right?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Insane Clown Posse, everyone. No.